ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Monday night travel on Nightlife.
Yes, let's go to Sweden. It's all happening in Malmo in Sweden, which is the site, of course, of Eurovision 2024. And yes, Australia has an entry. It's called Electric Fields. Here they are with One Milk Carly, One Blood. Yeah, I know you had no say in it, but that's our official entry to the Eurovision Song Contest. The first semi-final takes place tomorrow. As I say, it's all happening in Malmo in Sweden. Malmo's Sweden's third largest city. It's the site of the ABBA Museum. Wow, among other tourist draw cards. Well, to tell us more about it, the attractions and the Eurovision excitement for Monday Night Travel, let's go straight to the source. And Chris Zaire joins us from Lonely Planet, who's in Malmo. Chris, good evening to you. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you so much. It's a nice afternoon here, spring afternoon in Malmö in Sweden. So I'm enjoying it, and I hope I give you a little flavour of what this city and location is like.
Yes, well, exactly. Just before we begin, you're rating our chances with One Macaulay or not really?
It's we actually have two Australians performing in the first semi-final, which is a little bit of trivia. So we have Electric Fields that are representing Australia, that were selected by SBS to represent us as our act. And the other bit of trivia is we have a young lady from Sydney. She's 17-year-old, a Greek Cypriot. Her name is Celia Kaptsis, and she's actually going to be starting the whole competition with her song Liar, representing Cyprus in the same semi-final.
Oh, okay. Well, very good. Well, good luck to them. Good luck to them anyway. Look, before we talk some more about Eurovision and ABBA, I want you to tell us about the ABBA Museum. Tell us about Malmo. Now, I've the only place in Sweden I've ever been to is Stockholm. It's spring there. What sort of city is Malmo anyway? What happens there?
Yeah, so Malmo is, you mentioned it before, it's the third largest city in Sweden, and it is kind of a brilliant blend of kind of youthful exuberance because it's a university town. There's the Malmo University here. Mm-hmm. It's full of this beautiful medieval buildings and churches and really beautiful like squares in the center of the city. But because there was a recent opening of an incredible bridge that connects Malmo with Copenhagen, and what it's done is it's really reinvigorated the city. So we've had a lot of businesses move here. So you've got like a lot of biotech businesses, a lot of design businesses, and even IKEA have moved their head office here to Malmo. So it is, it's a really interesting city that's benefited from this amazing bridge that crosses the Öresund Strait, which divides Sweden and Denmark. It's an amazing 8-kilometre bridge, and you take the train over it. I've done it several times since I've been here, and it doesn't get old.
Oh, okay. So would you go straight from Copenhagen to Malmo?
Yeah, that's correct. So you would. So the flight that I did is I flew from Melbourne into Copenhagen, yeah. And then from Copenhagen you literally get out of the airport and you're straight onto a train track going across the strait, across the water, across the sea, beautiful, on a train, and you arrive, three stops later, you arrive in Malmo.
How about that? It's got a long history of shipbuilding, Malmo, hasn't it?
Yeah, it does. So it is a port city. So back in the 60s and 70s, it was very, very thriving industry. That all kind of shut down in the 80s, and the city itself did actually go through a fairly tough time of it. But actually, the Danes and the Swedes came together to kind of make this idea of this bridge that kind of connected the two cities, because really they're only, you know, they're less than 20 kilometres apart, but they're divided by ocean. And interestingly, this part of Sweden used to be a Danish territory back in the you know, back in the medieval times.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so this whole part of southern Sweden has a great connection to Denmark. So the Danes built a tunnel and the Swedes built a bridge, and the two things come together and they make a they make an incredible kind of feat of architecture. And the trivia piece here is that incredible Scandi-Noir series, The Bridge, where there was a division between the Swedish and the Danish border and a murder and all that kind of stuff, actually was located on that particular bridge.
Oh, that was the bridge. Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
How about that? Yeah. It's got the ABBA Museum, of course. Tell me about the ABBA Museum. Tell me about the treasures in the ABBA Museum.
So the ABBA Museum is actually located in Stockholm, but what they've done for Eurovision is they've relocated quite a bit of the exhibition here to Malmö for a couple of weeks.
I've been misinformed. Yes. I've been misinformed here.
So this year is the 50th anniversary of ABBA winning the Eurovision Song Contest with Waterloo. And so what they wanted to do is really celebrate that and bring a whole heap of those exhibitions across to Malmö for a couple of weeks. Plus, they wanted to kind of really educate people about the recent ABBA history with things like Mamma Mia, the musical, the movies, ABBA Voyage, the incredible 3D holographic display / concert / performance art piece that is happening in London. So they wanted to kind of bring all of that together into one exhibition as part of the experience here in Malmö for Eurovision.
Mm. Yes, okay, all right. So they've just got some of the stuff from the ABBA Museum.
They've got some of the stuff. There's lots of costumes and lots of bits and pieces. But for those that are really interested in actually doing the ABBA Museum in Stockholm, it is well worth it. I have done it. It is quite an incredible experience.
What have they got in there? What have they got in there?
You basically can perform with ABBA in a hologram, like you get up there.
Hey.
You'll the old phone from Ring Ring, Give Me a Call, you can pick it up and you might actually get a message from Agneta or Annafried. So they actually will be on the other end of the line.
Maybe no, they won't. Come on.
Then you've got all sorts of like dress ups and other bits and pieces you can do. You can do karaoke there. It's a fantastic experience and well worth it. That is just out of downtown Stockholm as well, so really easy to access.
The ABBA Museum should be in Australia because they're more popular here than they were anywhere else. They're probably more popular here than they were in Sweden, weren't they?
I've still got my ABBA socks from when I was a kid, pulled up to the knees. Australia has such an affinity with ABBA. We really broke them internationally, and there's a lot to do with Molly Meldrum and Countdown and all of that sort of stuff in kind of making sure that they were really popular. And then the British charts kind of looked at the Australian charts and they kind of went, what is going on with why are all these songs from this Swedish band so popular in Australia? And it kind of then gravitated across the pond, back across the pond to Britain, and away the ABBA phenomenon went.
Now tell me, Malmo, if Eurovision's there, I mean, it's not a huge place, is it? It must get overwhelmed by this. Where is everyone going to stay?
Yeah, so interesting question. So this Eurovision in particular, because what happens is the country that won it in the previous year gets the first right of refusal of hosting it in the year to come.
Uh-huh.
And so there's normally they need to have an arena that will hold about between 12 and 15,000 audience members. They need a certain amount of beds to sleep everyone because you've got all the country delegations coming through. So there's quite a strict criteria. But what the Malmö has in terms of an advantage is that a lot of people are actually staying in Copenhagen. So they're actually then just taking the train across to the venue.
As you said, that's right. Just, yeah. Exactly.
It's a 20-minute train ride and away you go. So they've got the best of both worlds. So we're actually having a lot of people staying here in Malmö, a lot of people staying in Copenhagen and really enjoying both cities. We were in Copenhagen last night for dinner, so it was fun.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. I mean, look, on a more serious note, I suppose, there are going to be security concerns, aren't there, because of the current world situation, particularly what's going on in the Hamas-Israel-Gaza war because of Israel's participation in the comp. And there'll be anti-Israeli and pro-Palestinian sentiment around as well, I am sure, as there is everywhere else around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So Israel is performing in the second semi-final. They're not performing that. That will take place on Thursday night. There is a significant police presence here in Malmö. It's definitely, it's outside of our hotel. It's outside of all of the venues that you go to. There is a strict no bag policy in nearly every place that you go into. Right. So bags are just prohibited from all venues. The interesting thing was the police minister here in Malmö basically said, this is one of the largest police events ever staged in Sweden. They have details from Norway, from Denmark, from Sweden, really kind of looking after things and making sure that nothing gets out of hand. I feel that makes the event feel quite safe because the police presence is quite significant. Even though we saw pro-Palestinian marches yesterday, which were very peaceful, everything is quite respectful. But I am feeling quite secure. There's lots of helicopters flying around. It is feeling like there is a significant police presence here.
Who's the hot favourite? It's not Australia, I guess. Sadly.
It is Croatia. Yeah, sadly, it is actually really it's Croatia and Switzerland. So they're kind of
Switzerland?
Like jumping.
How can Switzerland possibly be a hot favourite? No.
Yes, they really are. So, it would be interesting because if Croatia to win, that would be the first time Croatia has won the contest. Mm. And if Switzerland were to win, it's the first time since 1988, and a surprise young chanteuse by the name of Celine Dion actually won the contest for Switzerland. Ooh. So there's a lot riding on this year's contest, which is really, really interesting.
That is very interesting. Hey, I know Lonely Planet have got a guide to Sweden. What else is in the Malmö chapter as far as must-sees go?
Yeah, so Malmö is really, so it's the capital kind of the southern part of Sweden. So it's kind of larger city as we were explaining before. But there's some really beautiful places that are really easily accessible by train from downtown Malmö. You can go to the medieval city of Lund, which has got incredible Viking history. There's a beautiful, amazing outdoor museum, which I love going to those where you can kind of experience what it was like back in yesteryear. I think that's really, really exciting. Then there's Ystad, which is a little bit further east, and that was made famous from the Kurt Wallander TV series. Again, another Scandi noir piece. That's another beautiful kind of medieval town right on the coast there. There's incredible standing circles that are nearby. This is just, yeah, this is quite a beautiful part of Sweden. The temperature is really good down here too. Because it is southern, you're getting the better part of the weather. So it's more temperate, less rainy. Yeah, it's really quite beautiful.
Sounds great. Chris, terrific to have your time. Thanks very much.
No worries at all.
Good on you. Chris Zaire from Lonely Planet with in Malmö.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.